Hey, this is Megan from Swish and Flick. I wanted to tell you all about Book of the Month. I love the curated list of books that is available every month. It makes it so easy to find something for you. Book of the Month focuses on new and upcoming authors. It's really helped me to venture beyond my regular genres. I am so excited at the start of every month to see what Book of the Month has picked. And what's better than getting a cute blue box in the mail with a book in it? I was so excited to see this month The Paradise Problem by Christina Loren was a pick. You guys know how much I love their writing. I've already started it, and it's everything you could expect from a Christina Loren novel. Book of the Month is offering a great intro offer for the month of May. You get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, P-E-T-A-L-S, and shipping is always free. Head on over to bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an all Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Episode 109.
I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
I'm the cool kid with the purple pop filter.
And this episode is sponsored by Megan Babulka, who we like to refer to as Bulbasaur.
Yeah.
For a second thought you were talking about our Megan. I was like, that's not her last name.
No, it is not.
I was busy petting Foz. I was real confused for a second.
So today we will be discussing the second half of chapter 33 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Voldemort's monologue.
The Death Eaters.
The Death Dudes.
So make sure
death
that...
Death Buddies. Sorry.
Are you...
Death Pals.
The no longer alive friends.
Comrades.
Deceased snackers.
The deceased snackers. I like that.
Why Death snacker? Eaters.
Oh, eaters. I was like, what?
Oh, well, it's going to be that kind of episode.
So make sure you've read the chapter and you're ready to jinx your way into the details. Before we begin, Megan has weekly profit news that I don't even know if I've heard about this, and I don't know where I've been.
Literally?
Correct.
Wow. Okay, well, first of all, I wanted to again remind everybody that we are going to be at LeakyCon in Boston, October 13th. Our two panels are on Sunday, October 13th. On the 12th, we're having a hangout in Boston at...
Thinking Cup
mm-hmm. on
mm-hmm. Hanover
Street in Boston at 11 a.m. So if you can make it, be there. We would love to see you and chat with you. But other weekly profit news. I don't know if any of you have heard that our girl Emma is going to be playing Meg
in Little Women. But they dropped the trailer not too long ago, so I thought that we could just tell people about Little Women if you didn't know, because Tiffany apparently didn't know. Anyway, we've got Emma Watson, Saoirse Ronan, Meryl Streep, Timothy Chalamet, Laura Dern, and more in the Louisa May Alcott book to movie Little Women. It looks really, 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 really good. So Emma's playing Meg. Saoirse Ronan is playing Jo, who is like... Joe is like my fave.
I've never read the book. Sorry,
me either. But I've seen the previous versions of the movie.
I've not.
Oh, it's good.
I do know some spoilers.
Oh, you know what?
Well, yeah.
Maybe I should get it on Audible. Do they have
Ooh,
it?
Oh yeah, I bet they do.
I feel like I've seen the movie version, but it's been like
I saw the movie version
a
with
a really long time ago.
Oh shoot, she was married to Johnny Depp. What
ooh,
is her name?
Ooh. She's also on Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, Edward Scissorhands.
She's also on Pirates of the Caribbean.
They were together for a very
long time. Are you talking about Paradise?
Oh my gosh. What?
No, not her.
Guys,
they were married,
name?
I'm pretty sure.
Keira Knightley. Thank
no,
you, Carly.
Not Keira Knightley.
Keira Knightley was not married to Johnny Depp.
No, she was.
No.
Was she married
to Johnny Depp. Winona Ryder.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I always get those two confused.
Winona Ryder.
How do you get them confused? They look exactly the same in my brain.
Who?
What? I'm serious.
What?
I know they're not. No. But
Winona Ryder
and Keira Knightley.
Stranger Things, Winona Ryder, plus all the other things that she's been
in. I get them mixed up.
Recent.
How?
In my brain,
like,
they look the same.
Realistically, I can understand if you were saying that about, like, Keira Knightley and who plays Rey.
Yeah, her too, but I...
Daisy Ridley,
yeah.
Katie, but anyway, I wanted to tell everybody that Little Women is coming out on Christmas, so we should all be excited and go and see it. And people are talking like Oscar noms for this movie.
Really?
They think that the girls are going to get Oscar nominations.
Where have I been?
Everybody always says that like the Academy like season movies always tend to come out later in the year, like especially December timeframe. And yeah, so. They're thinking that this is going to get some awards.
Okay, Maya.
But I love Saoirse Ronan. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
And obviously Emma Watson.
Who's the one girl is directing? Whoever did Lady Bird.
Yeah,
also,
she's also the writer and director of Lady Bird is doing Little Women.
And I can't remember. I can see her face.
Like Lady Bird Johnson?
No,
it's like
just,
the movie Lady Bird that Saoirse was
very
in.
Good.
It's so good.
It's really, really
Timothy
good.
Timothée Chalamet is also in that. I don't know what it is.
It reminded me a little bit about my relationship with my mom at times, but I didn't want to tell her that because I thought she might get offended. But, like, I mean, she's, like, my BFF, so, like, it's fine. But there were moments in that movie where I was like, that very much reminds me of my relationship with me and my mom. It's about a girl who goes to, like, a Catholic high school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just really good. Really good.
All relationships have their hills and valleys, if you will. It's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good
I
movie.
I love my mom.
We
but
know.
In high school, we had clashing.
Who didn't?
Yeah, right.
Who didn't?
So, yeah. There's my
Harry
weekly
Potter.
Profit.
Should we talk about that?
Sure.
What time is it?
REREECAP!
Voldemort is back.
What?
Back again.
Mm-hmm.
Voldy's back.
Tell a friend.
Hey, Katie, Voldy's back.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, am I your friend?
Yeah.
That's kind of you.
Aww. Yeah.
You're
kind
sweet.
Of you to let me come.
You're sick.
You're sweet. So he summons all his death buddies, and he gives one heck of a monologue, which will continue in this one. And Wormtail gets a new hand that obviously will not turn on him later.
Oh, okay.
Voldemort starts naming names in his sad little racist club of people. Some are missing. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. And he gives a big old spiel about everything because, you know, that's what he loves to do.
Whoa.
That's everything he's happened to him and how he's been treated. And, blah, 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 and he's trying to kill this kid for years and he keeps failing. But he's going to
maybe
prove...
if he stopped talking and he just killed him, it would happen.
He's going to prove that he is stronger
though.
Than this 14-year-old kid.
Oh, I guess not. Never mind.
What?
Nothing. Just go small head.
So he uses, he being Moldy Voldy, uses an unforgivable, which is, you know, unforgivable, which has nothing, which was, is nothing to him. So he doesn't care, but Harry's never had one done to him. At last, he has Harry and Tide. Let the fun begin?
Maybe?
What's going to happen?
So, Voldemort turns his attention now to Lucius Malfoy.
Is that spelled correctly? Because nope. I think that's luscious.
Emily and Prince Lumet! Luscious Malfoy.
After he fired Dobby, he got a great new hairstyle with shampoo on his hair.
In my defense.
Luscious Malfoy!
It's autocorrect! It's autocorrect! And his hair is quite luscious. It fits. I'm not changing it. And that's the episode title.
Oh my god.
You're luscious, Malfoy.
You're a luscious.
Oh my god.
So, Voldemort calls Lucius his... luscious. My slippery friend. And I said, oh, how true those words ring out. This guy, even after listening to Seven and how they just, they're like sitting in the Great Hall with everybody else after the war, even though they were on the other side. You know what I mean? And nobody was paying them any kind of mind. But that's just like the audacity of the Malfoy family. You know what I mean? I'm surprised people didn't kill them in the Great Hall at the end of the war, to be honest with you.
That's not how our side works.
Truth.
I guess so. Says the Slytherin. Just saying.
Whatever.
You. Left. I mean, I probably would have killed him.
Anyways.
I don't think, honestly, like, let's just stop for a second. I don't legitimately don't think I'd have it in me to do that to someone.
Nope.
Like, that's soul splitting and real, like, non-magic. You know what I mean? Like, that wrecks you. I would assume.
If you're normal.
Do you just mean, like, you couldn't, yeah, you couldn't fight relative. And do that in a war? Or you couldn't just, like,
but
see
here's
someone
the thing, like, think about
in
all
a peaceful
soldiers.
Moment
like,
and go?
I am very grateful to every person that, like, fights for our country. But that's horribly hard for all of them. You know what I mean?
Of course
that's what I'm
is.
Saying. Like, that's hard.
Yeah.
But not like, everybody
but
is
I'm
meant
saying,
to
like,
do that.
Correct.
I don't think it would be for me. Think about me. I would be either
well,
laughing or crying on
not.
The battlefield, like, oh my gosh, or like, you know what I mean? I just, but.
And that's okay.
If I'm at Hogwarts and everything is ended and you're saying, like,
you wanna,
the dust
you,
had
yeah.
settled
okay.
and you want to, like, shoot off a green light curse to Malfoy, luscious Malfoy.
You also have to think about they're not
doing.
They're in, like, different circumstances, though.
Well, for sure.
So, also, I love our armed forces.
We appreciate everything they do for us.
So agreed. Good.
Luscious locks for Lucius.
You're out of your mind. Anyway.
That's his, he gets a custom-made hair potion every month, and that's what the title of it is. Luscious locks for Lucius.
Oh my god.
Headcanon. So Voldemort brings up that even though the wizarding world believes that Malfoy Sr. has changed his ways when he was, quote, bewitched, he had indeed not changed his ways, and he is even ready to, like, take the lead spot again in Muggle torture, which we find out was him leading the Quidditch World Cup. So we do find out that he was part of that, and Voldy essentially says that his energy would have been better put into trying to find him, his master, Voldemort. And Malfoy Sr. is coming back, of course, with like some slippery comment, and he's like, my lord, I was constantly on the alert, came Lucius Malfoy's voice swiftly from beneath the hood. Had there been any sign from you, any whisper of your whereabouts, I would have been at your side immediately. Nothing could have prevented me. And then Voldemort goes to say, and yet you ran from my mark when a faithful Death Eater sent it into the sky last summer, said Voldemort lazily. Lazily, I like that. And Mr. Malfoy stopped talking abruptly. Yes, I know all about that, Lucius. You have disappointed me. I expect more faithful service in the future.
So
that's interesting, though, that he ran.
Mm-hmm. Well, because he's scared of him. I think, too, like, this right here is the start of Voldemort's, like, how Voldemort treats him very differently this war than last.
Mm.
So, like, and maybe Lucius knew that that would happen, and that's why he was like, I don't, you know, like, I'm running from it.
Here's the thing with the Malfoys. Yes, they do a lot of really horrible things, but I don't think that they are as horrible as the rest of the Death Eaters are.
Mm.
I can see where you're coming
they
from.
They are weak sauce and let things happen.
I think they're
and they don't physically do the things themselves.
They're one of their money talk.
They like the Muggle torture. They like being holier than thou and all of that. But when it comes down to it, who is he actually murdering? Who, you know what I mean?
I don't know.
I don't know what he did previous war, but for this, I feel like he is. But as far as the horribleness goes, yes, he is horrible, but I feel like he's lower on that.
Do you think that having a kid changed? Like, I mean, I guess he had a kid the first time around, but like this time around, he's older and he's got more at stake.
And Narcissa's not into it like he is. She lets things happen, yes, and that is absolutely wrong.
But I think they both are like.
They're both passive about it. I'm not. But what I'm saying is they're not.
About what? Do you mean?
Letting things happen. Like things are happening. Like, sure, that guy, Avery over there or whatever, is torturing people, but like, I don't know, like. And killing people, maybe, but like, how much are the Malfoys actually doing?
Of the I think killing that and things? The Malfoys help make things happen, even though they may not be the ones doing it.
Right, that's
they
what
are.
I'm saying.
They are definitely helping in other ways.
They have a yeah. lot so of it's money kind of, and money talks.
That's what I'm saying. What are we arguing?
They
about?
Have a lot of money. But I guess what I'm, I guess what I'm,
still
I mean, I'm not arguing.
It.
I'm just
Nobody
saying
said
I don't, I don't think that I would say that they are less evil because even though they're not out physically doing something that Avery maybe did or McNair did or whatever, they are still instigating it and making mm-hmm. sure it can happen in the background. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they are offering up their home to make sure that Voldemort has a safe place to go to. Like, that is still hugely...
They're doing it, but I feel like they're doing it for different reasons this time around. He's afraid of him. He's not necessarily, like, working so much with him anymore. He's working... Do you get what
for
I'm
sure.
saying?
Yeah. I mean...
He's
I...
not... He's not... at the side anymore.
He's not as into it.
He's doing it, I feel like, out of sheer necessity for him to stay high up where he's at. Like, it's not the same as before. Like, he's not, Voldemort's like not into him anymore. He sees him as weak sauce. He's like not doing these
things.
He
clearly takes advantage of Lucius at this point going forward. Every time Voldemort does.
Yeah, he's like not important to him anymore. He's like a...
He's a bad word. He's his... Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. Like,
you know?
Like, they're not really... Not that Voldemort has people like close to him, but it's not like a Bellatrix thing with like a... What am I trying to say? Like his lieutenant or something like that. You know what I mean?
He's not as high up on the totem pole as he was for the first war. He's more of like a, hey, I'm going to take advantage of you and just use you for what I know you can give to me.
Right.
But you are not important to me, really.
And well, I wonder if that's why he's like not out doing killing and things like that.
Possibly.
Well, I don't know that he's not. I guess I should say that.
But I mean, if you do think about it, he was saying like in what, three paragraphs ago or something about how he's like, it's been 13 years and I want 13 years payback. So like... You, Lucius Malfoy, were doing all of these things and saying all of these things first time around, and then for 13 years, you're nowhere to be found and you're running for my mark. So,
yeah,
like,
he did
now
like,
this is what I'm going to make you do. Dance, monkey, dance.
Pretty much.
Right.
But I still think that he believes in all of that stuff, and he's just has always been the type of person that, because he has money, he's like, I'll have all of these other people do it for
me. He's not the kind of guy that gets his hands dirty.
Correct.
Other people do it for him.
Correct.
That's what I was trying to get at.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right, that was a long walk around.
It's okay.
You got there.
Awesome.
So I said, I think that he ran because he thought that Voldy was officially back, and he thought that he was going to be tortured and or killed because of his lack of service in trying to find Voldemort. Lucius says, thank you, in a gross, you are a merciful, my lord, thank you kind of way. And now Voldy moves on. So he continues to move around the circle, and he comes to an empty space, the Lestrange's space.
And can I just say, I like when you are quoted, Lucius talking, he's like, had the Benini sign. I could hear him saying it.
What's his name?
Jason Isaacs.
Isaacs.
Had the Benini sign.
Who, okay, say they recast. Who would you put for Luscious? Because I feel like Jason Isaacs is such a good job.
He's also a very attractive man. You know?
I agree.
He's literally perfect.
I almost said he's a good looking pooch, and I don't know why I wanted to say that.
There's a good looking pooch in the room.
Oh.
He couldn't be recast.
I mean, but you have to. I know. It's hard.
Nobody. Don't do it.
Caitlin in the chat said maybe adult Tom Felton.
yeah.
Perfect. Okay. He would do it really good.
He needs to wash his hair first.
Shave it and wear a wig.
Make his hair a little bit more luscious. For luscious.
That's fine. So, the Lestranges were in Azkaban because they stood firm that they were followers of Voldemort. And Voldy says that when Azkaban is broken into and they are free, they will be honored beyond their dreams. And I said,
like with making a baby.
Honestly, I'll say this, and I don't want to get into it, but I have to say, after rereading 7 in the forest, again or something like this, after Harry comes back from King's Cross, and the way that Bellatrix is talking to Voldemort, I feel like, yeah.
I remember you texting us about that.
It says as if she was speaking to a lover.
Yep.
Yeah. Gotcha. So, if you listen to our Cursed Child episode, I change my mind.
Mm-hmm. And she's allowed to do that, because that's a woman, and that's their prerogative.
It's my prerogative as a woman.
So, this is what I really enjoy, because if reading this and reading the end of this book, like the very last part, I like the way that these points connect. So, Voldemort goes into his plans for the future, and in an upcoming chapter, we know that Dumbledore moves to prevent certain measures that are taken by Voldy. And I said, alas, because fudge sucks. So, Voldemort first says the Dementors are going to join them, and they are the Death Eaters' quote, natural allies.
Which is true.
Which is a sickening thought. Second, recalling the giants. Recalling. So, we know that they were used in the first war. Who have been banished. We know that this happens. Third, all the devoted servants or supporters of the first war and an army of creatures whom all fear.
Is that the Inferi? Is that how you say that?
Mm-hmm.
You think?
Inferi, Acromantulas.
Acromantulas, yeah.
Sarahs.
Manticores.
Hungry Tiffany's.
Trolls. Because weren't there some trolls in the
I think so.
Trolls in the dungeon.
Trolls being mentioned.
That's, I don't know. That's horrible. Sorry, that was a bad rendition.
So there is an article on, sorry, my mic stand keeps making noises, but aminoapps.com. I don't know. It's called Voldemort's Army Magical Creatures. And it says, you know who was a talented man? One who was once known as Tom Riddle and later took the name of Voldemort. People feared him enough and don't speak his name. So what kind of creature would choose to follow such a man? Tom used magical creatures in both wars, but it was the second one that we got more knowledge about how he turned these creatures to his side. So in this blog, this person goes into the different creatures that Voldemort called back. So giants, aided Voldemort during the Second Wizarding War. They were an endangered magical species near extinction because of their violent nature, and then they were like banished because of wizards. And there's only a few known tribes left, and they are usually led by the strongest giant called the Gurg. Uh-huh. And when rereading this and reading about how the Gurg changed after Hagrid and Madame Maxime met with the OG Gurg in the mountains. And then there was like a fight that broke out. And then the next day they walked in and that...
No support.
That Gurg was... Its head was on a spike.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
And the other one changed. And then they saw the Death Eaters coming to talk to them. And obviously they were offering them more than what... The good side. The light side. So Voldemort, one of the giants in his ranks because they have raw strength and their skin is resistant to most magical attacks. And it is often wondered if giants have stronger skin than dragons.
Ooh, interesting.
So Dementors was another... Are other creatures that are wanted for obvious reasons. I mean, they're probably offering them, like, all the souls you want. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, free reign, obviously. Because they're going around anyway. And I think we get a small taste of that in 5 when... Those two are wandering around in Little Whinging.
Yep.
Yeah.
Little Whinging.
So their ability to remove happiness is not the only thing, as they can also suck out a human soul, giving the Dementor's kiss, which basically leaves the person in like a permanent vegetative state. Yeah. And then it pulls that quote that I just read, that they were the natural allies. Werewolves were also another creature that Voldemort wanted to use. Most werewolves don't choose this life, but they are oppressed by the views of the wizarding world. They are considered dangerous and unpredictable and unworthy of being treated as a normal human being.
Rude.
So obviously the Death Eaters are going to be like, yo, we can give you like a normal life, like come be accepted. When first of all, Voldemort doesn't like you.
Yeah, you're a half-breed.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So is... Words.
What?
He is as well. Voldemort.
I know. And that's the thing that really gets me.
Yep.
It just...
Well, yeah. Same with Umbridge.
Can we compare to Hitler really quick? Because Hitler was brown-haired and all of that, but he loved those blonde, blue-eyed, right? Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah.
It reminds me of that. Like, you hold up high what you are not, and you say this is good, but you are still not that. So with a large amount of oppression and discrimination, it is no wonder that most of the werewolves decided to find some sort of revenge or had become desperate to find a way to get a better life. Wizards and witches like Dolores Umbridge made it impossible for werewolves to even live something close to a normal life while in human form. But under the rule of Voldemort, there would be more of a chance for things to change. And then it says some other creatures like Inferi, which are the bodies of the dead that are enchanted by magic. Acromantulas join the final battle. But honestly, when you read that, you don't really know what side they're on.
They're just kind of like...
They're just kind of there.
Everywhere.
They're like, yo.
They'll kill whatever.
This is food.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But I have to...
I kind of feel like Dementors would do that too, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like they would. So Hagrid tries to save some of those spiders because of his Aragog buddy.
R.I.P.
But...
Aragog.
The interesting thing about Voldemort is that he doesn't understand that the little guy is strong too. The house elves wreak havoc during the final battle, as we know. Yeah. They're coming out there with cleavers and they're hacking.
Yeah.
I think that's something that a lot of people do, like Voldemort does it, and a lot of villains overlook certain things because they're like, oh, they're not important, I can overlook that, you know what I mean?
I agree.
And then that's their downfall.
Buckbeak joined the final battle. I want to say that the Thestrals were there, but I'm not 100 on that.
Only some could see them.
Well, a Sarah? Lot of them could see him that night.
Right.
Maybe they had to process tweet. It, Tiffany.
Like, can you imagine if you went to the house elves? Your army would be unstoppable. They have magic that's insane. Yeah. Like, they didn't even think about that for Malfoy Manor because you're so much of a lesser creature. Nah, he got you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they would have actually fought with him?
No.
I think that if some of them were more like creature, yes. Because creature chose to support who was good to him. which is why he turned his back on Sirius, and then in the end was on Harry and Ron and Hermione's side because they showed love for Regulus.
I guess I can. I think it would depend
you
can't
on. Do that.
I think it would depend on the house elf family probs.
That you know? Yeah, because like
do
how
we
well
still
you're treated.
Believe that there's one elf per house. How does one? How no. does a new house get a house elf? Do they buy them?
I feel like they're just.
I feel like they do buy them.
Where do you
probably?
Where they're not
Nocturne Alley.
Some black.
I don't know
market. You know,
but it's honestly I mean,
it's not. They probably go to Home Goods. Like...
oh my God.
I don't know house. The house. No, hold on. Isn't there?
I don't
a,
think that they're. Wild.
There's a house elf plate. There's a house elf like placement. Something in Carket Market at Universal.
Mm-hmm.
So is it like a? You're assigned.
Well, because think about it. Like,
but you
say,
probably have to pay.
Say your Aunt Gertie or someone's Aunt Gertie who has no family left has her little house elf and she passes away. And then where's little Gertie's house elf going to go?
To the family.
I'm saying, what if she has no family left?
Gertie Jr. is free.
I guess you go back to Carket Market.
Yeah, I don't really know.
Get a new fam. Or join a fam.
I'm saying, how does the new fam get one?
Probably do that thing.
When they say Accio house elf,
I don't think that works.
No,
I don't
think
that would work.
All right, well, let's just keep talking about death buddies because that's a better topic.
I like
so deceased snackers.
So Voldemort keeps walking, and he couldn't say anything, or he wouldn't say anything to some of them, but would stop at others. And here is where I say that Jo is brilliant because she's been introducing us to these characters from Jump. Really. So first we've got McNair.
From Rebirth.
Who was... What?
Not from Jump, from Rebirth.
Oh. Oh my God.
No,
no
she's talking
before
about before
Rebirth.
That.
Like from the beginning of the
McNair's
movies.
Book
McNair
from
is
the
from
beginning
Prisoner
of time we were introduced to McNair. He was gonna execute Buckbeak.
What if that was the whole episode? We're just announcer voices.
I don't know if I'd be able to do it.
All right. So, yes, McNair was supposed to execute Buckbeak, but was at the castle to do the deed in Prisoner of Azkaban. So we've already met him, but she's making that connection for us. Like, oh, hey, bad guy in Prisoner. He's a Death Eater. We also have Crabbe and Goyle, who are parents to Crabbe and Goyle, who we figured were a part of this because they're BFFs with Malfoy, after all. Not... has a son in Slytherin with Malfoy right now. Theodore Knott is another Slytherin.
That's who their cat's named after, because...
No! Get out of here!
Theodore Lupin.
Except his name is not Theodore.
Lupin.
Whatever. Teddy Lupin.
Tedward.
Tedward, that's what we call him. And then he'd reached the largest gap of all, and he stood surveying it with his blank red eyes, as though he could see people standing there. And here we have six missing Death Eaters. Three dead in my service. One, too cowardly to return. He will pay. I'm assuming that is Karkaroff. One, who I believe has left me forever.
I believe.
He will be killed, of course. False. And one, who remains my most faithful servant and who has already re-entered my service.
Who could it be?
It's me.
So three dead.
Jack.
Three dead in my service. I looked up who those were. And the interwebs told me the first one would be Regulus Black. The second one would be Evan Rosier. And the third would be Wilkes.
Okay, but why is it Regulus?
Because he was still a Death Eater. I don't think
he
defected.
Yeah, but he had Regulus killed. Or he killed him himself. We
but
don't know.
He never told anybody about that. So he would have to act as if he was
that
still a Death
Eater. That is so... You are a loser, Voldemort.
God.
I mean,
you know what? I
you're
heard
not
he listens,
wrong.
So he's going to hear you.
Well, hear this.
So, Alistair Moody, we actually... Well, hold on here. Yeah, Alistair Moody kills Rosier.
Rosier.
And this is like...
How? I wonder.
Who in crimes is Rosier? Is it the girl?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's her first name? I can't remember. So it says, after Lord Voldemort returns in June of 95, this is on Reddit, by the way, okay, he summons his Death Eaters and notes that six are missing. Three dead, one too cowardly to return, one who Voldemort believes has left him forever, one who remains Voldemort's most faithful servant, who has already re-entered his service, is at Hogwarts, and it was through his efforts that Harry Potter arrived there that night.
So this is just his inner circle.
Correct.
Okay. So, because there's, right, we said there's like 30 people there. So, this is his inner circle. So, Regulus got really high up for being such a young person.
Yeah, but he's also black. You know what I mean?
Still, so, I mean, I like, wonder think, what he like, was doing.
Malfoy, really, in Half-Blood is pretty much in the inner circle, and he's still at Hogwarts.
I think a big part of it is
your name.
He wants a lot of those pure blood, like, yep, he's got pure the Malfoys, he's got the blacks, yeah, you know what
the
I mean?
The
crab.
Yeah.
Goyle.
Also, if you get him younger, crab you can produce, manipulate.
I don't know. I'm just naming
I think
names.
They might be.
Are you looking it up?
No, I'm looking up something else.
So people on here were saying, I was unsure about Regulus since Voldemort killed him himself when Regulus turned against him.
Yeah.
But people said Regulus was killed technically by the Inferi in the cave after stealing the locket. Nobody knew what happened to Regulus except Creature. Voldemort just kind of left him. So
I think part of that would be he doesn't want, maybe he people don't know how in depth he is with those Horcruxes. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to know how close someone got to it. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to admit any weakness. So why would he just say, like, he was a great, loyal follower, and he was killed, essentially, in the line of, you know, action.
Oh, right. Hey, Katie, Pottermore has the ultimate Remus Lupin quiz up in there.
Yeah. You'll fail.
I will ace it.
So during the First Wizarding War, the Death Eaters were fiercely pursued by Aurors. Evan Rosier was eventually caught by Alistair Moody around the same time as one of his comrades, Wilkes. The two resisted arrest, Rosier even blasting a significant part of Moody's nose off during their duel. Moody defeated and killed Evan. A year later, Igor Kakarov, while selling out his comrades to the Council of Magical Law in exchange for his own freedom, named Evan but was informed of his death, making his naming of Rosier worthless. According to Kakarov, Evan was among Voldemort's important supporters.
Crab is not part of the Secret 28.
But Goyle Thank is.
You. No.
Here I have another article.
No.
No, ma'am. Gaunt and Greengrass are the G's. There's also Abbott, Avery, Black, of course, Bulstrode, which I forgot about. Burke, Carroll, Crouch, Fawley, which no members of this pure blood family are mentioned in the Potter series, so that must be a... I wonder when she'll tie that in, if she will. Flint, Gaunt, Greengrass... Greengrasses.
Oh, Marcus Flint, pure blood?
I assume. Lestrange, Longbottom, Macmillan, Malfoy, Knott, Ollivander, Parkinson, Pruitt, Rosier, Rowell, Slughorn, Shacklebolt, Shafik, nothing in Potter with that. Slughorn, Travers, Weasley, Yaxley.
Well, we've discussed that Potter's not. They said it because he, like, they were too Muggle.
It says,
but they should be.
It says, yeah. Potter's common Muggle surname. Harry's family didn't make the list, according to Rowling, because the anonymous compiler that supposedly definitive list of pure blood suspected that they had sprung from what he considered to be tainted blood.
Wilkes was a Death Eater during the First War with Voldemort and was killed around the same time as Evan Rosier, according to Sirius Black. Wilkes was possibly killed during the same fight in which Rosier blew off part of Moody's nose.
Do you think we're finding this out in 5 when Harry talks to Sirius?
It said goblet.
It said goblet?
Mm-hmm.
On Pottermore, it's on that Death Eater, like the Lord, it's a guide to Lord Voldemort's Death Eaters, which I talked about in the last episode. Mm-hmm. Wilkes is on here and is a part of a gang of Slytherin students who are friends with Severus Snape. And then he was killed by Aurors before Voldemort fell. So that's what it's got to say about him on that article.
Chapter 27. I guess we already talked about this. It's whenever they meet with him in
the cave.
And he's like kind of naming names. He's like, Oh, Wilkes and Rosier, they were both killed.
Okay.
Okay, so let's break down this last little thing he says.
Sure.
No.
One, two, cowardly, most faithful, and left forever. So I found an article on our good old friend Stack Exchange.
Dude, Stack Exchange for the win.
It's just good. So in the graveyard scene in Goblet of Fire, Voldemort looks around at the Death Eaters and lectures the ones who disappointed and failed him. And when he reaches a wide gap, he says three of them are dead, one too scared to return, one forever left, and one is his most loyal. Who are the three Death Eaters he is talking about?
Y'all three, because I'm not a Death Eater.
Kakarot.
I'm not no dead snacker.
Kakarot would be the cowardly Death Eater, as he gave up a lot of Death Eaters to escape Azkaban. Also kind of a betrayal. But not only that, he ran away as soon as the Dark Mark burned. Crouch Jr., obviously, we know is the loyal one, as he returned and found his master when none of the other Death Eaters did, other than Pettigrew, who Voldemort doesn't seem to count. And Snape would be the betraying, as he swapped sides and hid even from Azkaban and is now hiding from Voldemort by not showing in the graveyard. After Goblet of Fire, when Snape returned to Voldemort, he explained his betrayals as spying for Voldemort and gave him information as proof. This is why Voldemort did not kill him. The ultimate show of his loyalty was when he revealed the date and time of Harry Potter's relocation. You know, Kakarot coward, Snape left forever, Crouch most faithful. Basically. However, at this moment in time, when we read this for the first time, if you can remember, he is at Hogwarts, that faithful servant, and it was through his efforts that our young friend arrived here tonight.
Yep.
Who did you think it was?
Snape!
Yeah.
Snape.
Yes.
For sure. 1,000%. Snape.
To be honest with you, probably was. Well, when I first thought about it, I don't think I thought that much, but like rereading, I was like, oh, that's so Severus. That sly dog.
Yeah, it's like that, but like not knowing like the outcome. Right. That's the first like person your mind goes to.
Yeah, because that's who she tells you is the bad guy.
Basically,
when you see the memory, oh, he was a Death Eater. Now you're like, no, he never turned good.
What?
The memories and the pensieve.
Yeah. So I said, hold the phone. Is it Snape? What? I mean, we know it's not, but did anyone else think that when you read it the first time? Because I sure did.
I think I did.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I knew it. Oh, yeah. I knew it.
I fell for all her tricks.
Me too.
I will not lie.
Yeah.
Me too. For every trick.
I went through every single lens she wanted me to.
Correct.
I mean, I can just still remember, like, all of the, I wouldn't say propaganda, like ads and stuff for the last book, and they're like, Snape, is he good? Is he evil?
Yeah.
What side is he on?
Oh my gosh, that was like,
you guys, I remember people being like, no, Snape's a good guy. He was asking, or Dumbledore was asking him to, like, kill him, and I was like, no, he murdered Dumbledore. I was so not for Snape being on the good side. I was like, I literally had verbal spats with people.
Vinny, Mystery Novel 101, the villain is always the new character.
True.
Cool. Well, I'm going to continue on from that quote.
Do you want me to read it again?
Yeah.
He's at Hogwarts, that faithful servant, and it was through his efforts that our young friend arrived here tonight. Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/swishflickcast and browse all of the awesome audio titles, aka Harry Potter books galore.
For the win.
Go get them.
Yes.
Right now. Download Sorcerer's Stone as your freebie. It's the bomb. .com.
.net.
Tiffany and I both now are on the Audible train.
Listen.
Jim
literally.
What the?
Listen.
Listen. No, honestly.
To some audiobooks.
I listen when I'm in the shower, because that's obviously some downtime where I can
You can have Alexa pick learning. Up where you left off. Did you know that?
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I do that, and then I listen in my car, and then I also listen during my planning period at work. And that's pretty much it.
I always
the only
listen
time I have
in
to
car.
Listen. But I'm listening to 5 currently. I hate Dolores. And she makes me want to punch things like her face. So,
yeah.
Go get you some Audible. Also, I enjoy this more listening to Jim Dale than when I first listened to him. Like, it's kind of weird when you hear somebody else like reading and doing voices that you've only done in your head for these books. But now I'm very much on board, and I have to say, I know this is going to sound really weird. I love the way he does Fred and George's voices.
Yes.
I don't know. He just sounds really good.
Yeah. But anyway, when you sign up using our little link, you get a free audiobook. You can pick whatever book you want.
Doesn't
have to be Harry Potter. Just obviously what just we recommend.
Those Potter audiobooks are not the cheapest of things.
Yeah, but
so
it's only...
use your free book.
Right, yeah. Isn't it like $10 a month? Right, for Audible, and you get an audiobook every month, so $10. It's awesome.
I have a lot of credits, and Marty's like, you should probably listen to a lot more books.
But
also,
anyway,
hold on. Star Wars books have sound effects.
That's
true. Oh yeah,
true.
I've heard that those are really good.
And a lot of people now are doing on Audible, like, because I know like the Dooku one is like a whole thing where they have like a cast.
It's not
of
even
people.
Called like an audiobook. It's called like a.
It's almost like a performance where like it's different
like a
people, show. like a couple of people, a couple like that's like a newer thing I think they're trying to do because there's a couple of them that I've heard of, where it's like a cast of people reading these storylines and stuff, you know.
Let me
so
see what it says. It just says like it's a narrated like by a full cast, so there's literally like
different people for each
like character. Yeah. I feel like somebody called it something other than like an audiobook, and it was some really cool name for what it is because it's literally
like those old days.
It's like the old days of radio.
That's what it makes me think
of. It's like a show for your ears. It's crazy.
But anyway, if you want to download your free audiobook, just go to audibletrial.com/swishflickcast
and get your ears listening.
And it can be any Audible book from their massive audio program library.
Why did you capitalize the VO in Voldemort?
I didn't mean to.
Voldemort.
Voldemort. Okay, so my section is like the whole monologue almost.
Babe.
So here we go.
Give it to me.
Voldemort.
Ooh, Katie has the longest section. Hers is like a page and a half.
Get ready for it. So I'm going to start right off where Meg left off. So,
are you?
Yeah.
I would hope so.
No, quote to quote. Literally quote to quote.
I don't know what Meg said last, if I'm completely honest right now.
She said that, where is it?
Faithful servant, Hogwarts, what?
And that's why their young friend is here tonight. Yes, said Voldemort, a grin curling his lipless mouth.
Lipless.
It's because he didn't use a full bone from his dad. He just used
true.
Ashes.
You know, you can only get so many things. As the eyes of the circle flashed in Harry's direction, Harry Potter has kindly joined us for my rebirthing party. One might go as far as to call him my guest of honor.
That's a horrible title for this party.
Happy rebirthing to you. So let me hear luscious Malfoy's voice.
Shut up.
That's going to be the new thing.
Don't you worry. He's going to go to Azkaban soon.
I hate everything. What design are you going to do?
We'll come up with something.
And he says that they crave to know how Voldemort achieved this miracle, how he managed to return to them and, you know, have a body. So Voldemort's like, oh, what a story it is. It begins and ends with Harry. And he, through this entire monologue, is like the ultimate showman. It's all a performance. It's all just a big show and like a way of him creating like more fear for his deceased snackers. So he walks lazily over to stand by Harry so that everybody has to look at the two of them. So here comes his recap. So they all call Harry his downfall. And whenever Voldemort looks at Harry, his scar burns so bad he wants to scream in agony. This poor kid. So they all know the night he lost his powers and his body, he tried to kill Harry, his mom tried to save him, it led to protection, and he actually admits to not foreseeing that, which I think is kind of surprising for Voldemort.
He admitted a fault.
He did. And he's like, you know, I couldn't touch Harry, but then he puts his finger real close to Harry's cheek and almost touches him.
I can touch you now.
I can't. I wish you guys could see her because she has a Halloween kitty cat pumpkin scarf tied around her head.
You look like you're going to go all Rambo.
You do look like Rambo a little bit.
I'm a biker now.
All right.
I'm going to get a motorcycle.
This is my banana seat.
So he does touch Harry's cheek, and the instant he touches him, Harry thinks his head is just going to burst with pain. So, quote from the book, "I miscalculated, my friends, I admit it. My curse was deflected by the woman's foolish sacrifice, and it rebounded upon myself. Ah, pain beyond pain, my friends. Nothing could have prepared me for it. I was ripped from my body. I was less than spirit, less than the meanest ghost, but still I was alive. What I was, even I do not know. I, who have gone further than anybody along the path that leads to immortality. You know my goal, to conquer death. And now I was tested, and it appeared that one or more of my experiments had worked."
I'm sorry, I have the hiccups. I really apologize. They hurt.
No, I'm talking louder because that's Horcruxes.
Yeah.
Right there. It worked, obviously, because he didn't die.
Right.
"For I had not been killed, though the curse should have done it."
Can he say, like, P's and M's with no lips?
What? Why? Well, he says Potter.
That's not where I thought you were going with that. Like, he still has a mouth, he can close it, he just doesn't have lips.
So he is now, or was now, this powerless, weakest creature alive. So think of what that would feel like to Voldemort. The literally his worst fear. So he couldn't he couldn't help himself.
His worst
I don't know where she's going with this.
I don't either. Speak up, Rambo.
I was gonna say, is him being a baby worse than not having any lips?
Jeez, man.
He.
Seriously. It's a figure of speech. The man has lips. He doesn't have a nose.
It said lipless.
It said lipless, Tiffany.
Literally lipless.
But I think it literally means that he looks like
he's got super thin lips.
He's got snake face. So he couldn't help himself. Anything that could have helped him, he would have needed a wand. And obviously, he's literally like less than nothing. So, and I don't think he had his wand. So he had no choice. So he forced himself sleeplessly, endlessly, second by second to exist. He settled in a forest far away, and he waited because surely one of his faithful Death Eaters would try to find him, right?
If you listen to Kimmy Schmidt, is that her name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can do anything for 10 seconds.
That's also what Autumn says really? In 21 Day Fix. Yeah.
What did she do for 10 seconds?
Oh, 60 seconds.
Well, she was in a bunker for like however many years, and she had to crank it. And she's like, you can do anything for 10 seconds. So she'd count 10 seconds over and over again.
I used to watch that show.
I only watched like the first couple of seasons. It was funny.
And Voldemort says, but I waited in vain. And then we have that shiver run around the circle again. Everyone's like, oh no. So he had one power left. He could still possess the bodies of others. So he didn't go too close to humans because the Aurors were still looking for him. So he would use animals, mostly snakes. Big surprise. But their bodies weren't very good for performing magic, and he obviously, like, shortened their lives. Mm-hmm. So then we hear how he stumbled upon Quirrell. He never names him, but obviously we know who he's talking about.
Right.
So he was a young, foolish, gullible wizard, and he seemed to be the very chance that Voldemort was dreaming of. He taught at Dumbledore School. He was easy to bend to his will, but nope, couldn't steal the stone. And once again, Harry Potter thwarted him.
I wonder what happened. Excuse me.
Are you so winky?
Yes. I wonder what happened in Quirrell's life that, I don't know.
That he would succumb to that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just be like, yes, like, I want all the power.
Yeah, because it's not like it's Tom Riddle talking to him, right? You know? Yeah. So this handsome, excuse me, God, I can't stop. This handsome guy that's like silky with the words right. and stuff.
Which it's you
like,
could see.
Was he talking to him as like a snake?
Or was it just like a voice that existed? You know, like, I don't know.
Like, I really would love to know how that went down.
Yeah, that's a really good thought.
Excuse me.
So he went back to that same forest after Harry defeated him year one. He said that may have been his darkest hour. He'd pretty much given up hope that any of his Death Eaters cared. That,
after missing the Sorcerer's Stone?
Yeah.
Was his darkest? Not even after he was destroyed on Halloween?
I think probably intense. Because now he's like, well, like, what are the chances that another wizard's going to stumble in here? And clearly my Death Eaters aren't coming.
Right.
So, like...
He felt like that was his one chance and it was over.
Yeah. But then...
He's not going to throw away his shot.
Mm-hmm. Your hair, sir. Wormtail, you rat. He found Voldy with the help of other rats because they told him...
What rats do, man?
They told him that a place deep in an Albanian forest they all avoided because small animals like themselves met their deaths by a dark shadow that possessed them. Question. When you're an animagus, can you fully communicate with other animals of your kind?
I think so.
Yeah.
Super cool.
I know, I think I've said this a million times, and it reminds me of Fruits Baskets.
Oh, yeah, you have said that. I need to become an animagus so I can talk to other cats.
You told what me if you would become didn't a dog?
Turn into a cat.
But I would just, I need to be a cat.
But I feel like animals have everybody their own kind of language.
Wants to be a cat.
Anyway.
Yeah.
The cat's
the only cat
who knows where it's at.
So Wormtail still almost screwed it all up because he's Wormtail. He stopped at an inn for food, and who did he meet? Bertha Jorkins.
Worst mistake of my life.
R.I.P.
So this could have been...
She seems like a not nice person, though, if I'm being honest.
I agree.
That doesn't mean she deserved it. Honest to God.
No, for real, but she didn't seem... I don't know. So that could have been the end, but Wormtail...
I mean, it is for her.
Yeah. Wormtail overpowered her and brought her to Voldemort, and he said, Bertha Jorkins, who might have ruined all, proved instead to be a gift beyond my wildest dreams. So she was a mine of information. She told Voldemort about the Triwizard Tournament. She told him she knew of a faithful Death Eater who would be only too willing to help. And at this point... We still don't know who that is because we don't have all the information right. on what Bertha knew and like how that whole Crouch cover up, which we'll
see,
get to.
See, that's the part that confuses me. Like, how did, like, what did she know about?
She knew a lot.
Barty Crouch Jr.
She knew a lot.
About
which,
Junior?
Did she just...
She seemed like the type to snoop.
Oh, well, yeah. That's what I was saying. Did she only know all this information because she was snoopy?
Well, I think she accidentally stumbled upon and then snooped some more, you know?
And then Crouch Sr. used, like, crazy powerful memory charms on her. And that's why Voldemort had to use something even worse and, like, stronger to break that memory charm. And that's what led to her just being, like... I mean, she was destroyed beyond repair.
Yeah. Mm.
She went to the Crouch's house to get his signature and heard Winky talking to Junior. That's right.
Honestly, like, I don't think even if her brains wouldn't have been at a... I don't think he would have kept her alive.
Oh, no
anyway.
Way. No,
no
way.
I don't
no
think
way.
So. That's
I
just
think
what
Nagini
he
was
saying.
Hungry. Can she eat? So, like, we know that he used that death to make her Horcrux. Could she eat, then eat that person?
Well, she did.
But do you know what I find interesting?
Tell me, please.
Is that he was strong enough to make a Horcrux then?
Clearly.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Where there's a will, there's a way.
He wasn't reborn yet.
I mean, we saw him cast Avada Kedavra on Frank.
Or did he do it? No.
He clearly has power still.
Did he do it after all of this mess?
Didn't he have Wormtail kill Frank?
No, he has to. I mean,
he has to have done it to make his own Horcrux.
No, but Frank.
Could he do it later?
No, he killed.
He killed Frank?
Yeah, because it came from the chair.
Mm. Yeah.
But at that point, he was already, like, in whatever form he was. Like, this is post whatever, not a ghost, not a whatever.
Yeah. Because what I'm saying is, like, did he make Bertha a Horcrux right then? Or did he do that after Harry escapes back to Hogwarts and all of that?
No.
I don't get how he would have done it.
What I'm saying is, I think that he is in that, like, humanoid form. So he's a little bit more powerful having that whatever form he was mm-hmm. in. Do you get what I'm saying?
He never lost his powers. He just lost his body.
But now he has a body because of there are several ways. You know what I mean?
It's just weird to think yeah. about. Yeah.
Actually, he did lose his powers because he could only possess things. But then when he had the body, he could cast magic again.
So then he couldn't have.
Didn't. No, I'm saying he's in that humanoid form. So he's not in that. Hey, do you remember how we've talked about like what he was before he went into the pot and came out a whole man?
Mm-hmm. He was that weird baby.
So like he was, yeah. So like he was no longer that, like, I was less than a ghost, less than a whatever. He wasn't really anything. He was just kind of possessing things. Well, he possessed or became the humanoidish thing. And oh, God, that's
yeah.
when he.
Oh, God. Yeah. I try yeah. not to think about that.
Yeah.
That's a conversation we probably should have. So, we think that in order for Voldemort to be that baby thing, he actually possessed someone's baby.
Oh, possessed. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh. No, yeah, we did talk about that on here before.
Yeah, we did talk about it.
It is vomit worthy. I hate it. It makes me sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrendous.
Like, probably out of everything in these books, like, that makes me the sickest.
I don't think that's not my headcanon personally.
How do you think he got that form? Like
he... magic. It's he says how he does it.
Say it again, read it for me.
Isn't it?
So my last point is Wormtail is able to follow instructions from Voldemort to create a rudimentary weak body of his own, one he could inhabit while he was waiting for the ingredients for his true rebirth. So it was a spell or two of his own invention, a little help from Nagini, a potion concocted from unicorn blood and the snake venom Nagini provided. And that returned him to an almost human form, and then he was strong enough to travel.
But anyways, whatever that is...
Right.
...is post him gotcha. Being, like, a ghosty with trying to possess things. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So... He had a little oomph in him
right.
to be able to perform the magic to make a Horcrux and to kill Frank.
Okay, but think about how strong he is in that state.
I mean, he's not a weak...
No, I know. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Gosh,
especially, like, he has all of that intent behind him, you know?
Yes, on to you, Blue.
He has given up on the stone, as he said. You know, there's no hope for him. No hope for getting that stone.
It's very dramatic.
Yeah. So he sets his sights on becoming whole again. And he needed three powerful ingredients. And then he makes a pun about saying one was at hand, flesh of the servant, his father's bone, and then blood of a foe.
And you know what? At least he can make some jokes.
Jokes.
True. I like jokes.
And so I'm going to read a little bit from here. It says, Wormtail would have had me use any wizard... Would you not, Wormtail? Any wizard who had hated me. So many of them still do. But I knew the one I must use if I was to rise again, more powerful I had been when I had fallen. I wanted Harry Potter's blood. I wanted the blood of the one who had stripped me from this power 13 years ago, for the lingering protection of his mother once gave him would then reside in my veins too. And he's like, how do I get to him? How do I get to Harry Potter? The boy who lived, kid he wants to kill.
The thing I love about that is that he is so wrong in taking Harry's blood. He's so wrong. Because, I don't know if you guys remember, but in seven, he says how Dumbledore says how that was completely the wrong thing for Voldemort to do, because while he took Harry's blood and while Harry's mother's protection was still alive in Voldemort, he tied Harry to Earth while he still lived. And I love that. I love that, the fact that Voldemort literally cannot understand that that protection at all, that he keeps making these mistakes. And it makes me so happy that Lily is the real MVP, and I cannot stop hiccuping and I hate it.
Lola. Lola. And then I want to read a little bit more because there's just so many things.
Sarah
to
and
say.
I were talking and we were saying how, like, her giving the gist of her part was probably not good and it should be read.
So Dumbledore.
What do you mean?
Like
I just wanted. I like to read to, like, verbatim. There's some, like,
oh
yeah,
yeah, yeah. Got it.
So Dumbledore invoked an ancient magic to ensure the boy's protection as long as he is in his relation's care. Let me repeat that. Dumbledore invoked an ancient magic to ensure the boy's protection as long as he is in his relation's care. Should I repeat it for a third time for the win? And I will. Dumbledore invoked an ancient magic to ensure the boy's protection as long as he is in his relation's cares. Not even I can touch him there. Then, of course,
What are you getting at?
He has to be in his relation's cares. Yep. Someone who's related to him.
Yeah.
Just making sure that people understand that.
Okay.
Then, of course, there was the Quidditch World Cup. I thought his protection might be weaker there, away from his relations and Dumbledore, but I was not yet strong enough to attempt kidnap in the midst of a horde of ministry wizards, and then the boy would return to Hogwarts, where he is under the crooked nose of that muggle-loving fool from morning until night. So how could I take him? Why? By using Bertha Jorgens' information, of course. Use my one faithful Death Eater stationed at Hogwarts to ensure the boy's name was entered into the Goblet of Fire. So yes, we know Bertha Jorkins was a wealth of knowledge for Voldemort, and because of her, he was able to use one of his death dudes to be stationed at Hogwarts to help facilitate his evil plan and to make sure that Harry would get the cup first, and that when he touched it, he'd be whisked away to the Yard of Graves and to Voldemort. And Harry would be too far away from Dumbledore and his protection, and then Voldemort would finally be able to get to him.
Wow.
So then Voldemort crucios Harry, and you know it hurt. And it says, the pain was beyond anything Harry had ever experienced. His very bones were on fire. His head was surely splitting along his scar, and his eyes were rolling madly in his head. He wanted it to end, to black out, to die.
The eye thing threw me off, you know? Mm. Like, if you think about
that. And I just want to point out that, so, first of all, it's almost like, for me, I forget that he already has an injured leg.
Yeah.
He's been through that whole maze, injured leg. Now he's, like, being, like, he's tied up crazy tight. His arm is bleeding everywhere.
Yeah.
And now he's being crucioed.
Yep.
Porky just wants to die.
Tied up.
That's not how I viewed it, but...
But I'm just thinking.
Yeah. When the pain was gone and he was limply hanging there, looking into Voldemort's eyes, and the death dudes were all laughing, which is so messed up. And as usual, Voldemort then goes into a speech about how he was foolish to think this boy was ever stronger than himself and that Harry escaped him because of a lucky chance. But he's going to prove it to himself and everyone there by killing Harry once and for all. But because Voldemort's such a nice guy, he really truly believes in a fighting chance. So he's going to let Harry fight, and then everyone will truly know that Voldemort is stronger than a 14-year-old boy.
You know what? I think that's really
good
nice.
Good for the ego.
I think that's nice. Giving him a chance.
And then he's like, Nagini, then you'll have a snack once I'm done with him. And then tells Wormtail to untie Harry and to give him back his wand.
Dude, what a way to end a chapter, though.
Right, I know.
It all got unraveled.
And tell me you weren't to the next page.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I liked Vinny said in the chat that this definitely feels like Joe is writing for people right now who just search for plot holes.
Oh, yeah. No, I completely feel that. Yeah. She's explaining things. Maybe that's the reason for his monologue. But
possibly.
You know,
but I...
Who cares?
I like it.
Yeah. I literally remember reading this the first time and just flying through the end of this book, and when we read it this time, because I finished it a very long time ago, I literally did the same thing, and I think I tweeted about it. I was like, I can't stop reading this. Like, it's so good.
It's like there's almost so much information you had to, like, go back and be like, wait, yep. What did I just read?
Oh, she filled in so many, like, gaps and things and made you question stuff.
And, you know, this is how really we get a lot of our information. Like, think about the whole story of, like, Sirius Black and everything back in POA with Hagrid doing his big monologue.
Yeah.
At, like, you know, with all those peeps in the bar.
Yeah.
And he's telling his whole saga, and you hear it from his point of view. Like, she likes, and I like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's more interesting hearing it as a conversation than it is just flat out reading it, to me, at least.
No, I completely agree. Because then sometimes the other characters will ask questions that you also have.
Yeah.
Not in this case, but in Hagrid's case, for sure.
Yeah. I wonder, like, So I think that, how am I supposed to word this? Because I wrote in the corner, so talking about his relative's care, and I said, so not his mother's protection. So like, did he use like some type of blood magic to ensure the loveness that came from his mother? Do you get what I'm saying? To really tie him? Because like at the end of the day, Lily still also loved her sister. Is that part of the whole relation
Petunia
thing?
Petunia, remember, you know what I mean? My last. Do you think that could have something to do with, do you think Petunia was in on it?
In on, like, the fact that he had to stay there to be protected?
Yeah, because when howler in five, I mean, yeah. She knows that he has to stay. But I'm wondering if it was more than him telling her, this kid has to stay because of this. Or mm-hmm. did they use Petunia's blood for something?
Maybe.
Like, just making that love protection of Lily's stronger.
Well, we know that Dumbledore does a lot of love blood stuff. Just saying.
True.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. So, possible. Because I always thought, like, do they ever... I can't remember if they talk about it in six. Petunia remember... Or even in the end of five, because it's been so long. Petunia remember my last. Like, what did that exactly mean? We know it was Dumbledore. We know it was because Harry couldn't leave Privet Drive and not stay out, like, not be under their care. He has to call that place home, and it clearly has to be with a relative. But what does that exactly mean? Last what? What your conversation was? What you did? Was there a spell?
I think it was. Did they explain it? Letter to her is how I always took it.
Yeah, like the last thing we talked about.
Like, I wonder.
Yeah.
Did we ever find out?
I don't remember.
I don't think so.
I don't remember either. That's why we're doing the podcast. Welcome to Swish and Flick. This is the lightning bolt round.
Okay. All right, lightning bolt round. From Carly. Did they all really believe Voldemort was dead? I'm guessing Death Eaters. Did they believe he really wouldn't come back?
I think yes.
I think some of them, yes.
I think most of them, because the fear is like so great. It's like, oh, he's gone. Like, we're free. When you think you're never going to get out of that, like, contract, for lack of a better word. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think most of them, yes.
From Isaiah, what did Snape tell Voldemort to regain his trust?
That he was a spy.
I don't know.
He knew he was never really gone, and he was keeping his position.
Correct. I think that he basically was playing himself, being like... You know, I knew how things worked around the first time, like, you know, we need an inside man, I'm your guy for it, and I couldn't blow my cover by leaving the middle of school and doing all these things, like, I had to keep up appearances, you know what I mean? And he gives him value information, like, he is his one of his, like, right-hand men, you know?
Yeah, he and Bellatrix, like, that's it.
Because, like, if you think about it, like, Bellatrix is shocked that he knows about the whole Malfoy thing.
Right, he's
which should let you know that he doesn't have relationships. Like, whatever you think is a relationship with Voldemort, it's not. Not even Snape.
Not even Bellatrix.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
You find anything, Meg?
What are you looking for, babe?
I thought for sure that there was... discussion somewhere about what exactly he did tell.
I think it was Voldemort, something you were looking at earlier,
to get his trust back.
I think it was in one of your earlier links.
Was it?
I think.
Really?
I think I wish so. I had an iPad Pro.
You search while I continue the lightning bolt.
Yeah, that's
round.
That's
okay. From Carly, what sort of thing would you use to call your followers?
Oh, gosh.
Sarah's supporters.
Oh, God.
Katie's comrades.
Tiffany's team.
How about you, Meg?
Meg's munchkins.
Meg's mongrels.
Meg's mongrels.
Meg's movers.
Oh, from Bev. What sort of present do you bring someone for their re-birthday?
A re-birthday cake.
Bone of the father.
A passy with a passy clip. Some puffs.
A kitten.
A baba.
I can't stand you.
These are all Lara's things. What else does she like? Babies. Like
the receipt
splats
from their returned gift.
Ooh.
Just kidding. I don't know.
A puppy. A turtle.
From Vinny, do you think Voldemort planned for a dinner with the Death Eaters after the resurrection ceremony? If so, what would be on the menu?
I don't think that guy eats.
He doesn't have lips. How's he
eating? Oh, yeah, for gosh. Real. How does he... Yeah, you can't eat. You can't use a spoon without lips.
They would got straws.
There'd be no soup on the menu.
I can't stand any of you. I think that they would have, like, flavorless, like... Mashed potatoes are just mashed potatoes.
Death Day party food.
Ooh,
rotten fish. But Death Day party food that's not, not bad. Rotten. Like rotten. It's just not good. You know what I mean? Like chicken with no salt, pepper, or any other seasoning. Yeah, everything's bland. Because they all seem bland. You know what I mean?
Do you think he goes to the bathroom?
Yes, he's a human being.
Well, I never see it happen in the book, so it can't be true.
Well, Harry never goes to the bathroom.
No one goes to the bathroom.
He only goes to the bathroom.
He goes into Myrtle's bathroom.
He takes one bath for 7 years. Right?
Goes into the prefix bathroom.
One time.
Voldemort doesn't eat because he doesn't have lips.
Oh,
that's
my
answer.
It was the one time.
The lipless lord eats no food.
He ain't got time for that. He's plotting.
Latin.
I hate all of you.
Learning how to talk with no lips.
You're so out of your mind.
Walking around without shoes. What's wrong with you?
No lips, no shoes,
no service.
They can't go out to eat. That's it. They can't.
It's not that funny.
It's really been a long day. Meg's had a day.
No lips, no shoes, no service. That's the best thing I've ever heard.
Is it, Katie?
That's a lie.
It is.
So funny.
Oh, Carly.
So funny.
Quick answer. How did Voldy learn all this dark magic?
Self-taught.
Self-taught. I agree with you.
You don't have lips. You have to find something to do.
Oh, he had lips at
Honestly,
one point in time.
Slughorn was duped into giving him very small information that was literally just confirming what Voldemort already knew about Horcruxes. All of it's like Hermione. Think about how she came in knowing all this stuff coming from a muggle home. He is completely self-taught, and he has the drive to do it because of his crummy upbringing.
He's ambitious.
Drop the mic. Boom.
He ambitious, girl. He ambitious in the wrong ways.
All right. Caitlin, do we consider
Okay.
Do we consider movieisms at least somewhat canon since Joe approved them?
I think it depends on what they are.
Wait, what'd you say?
No, if they go against what the book says, then no. If she's adding the fun little facts in that are like on the side, sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because, like, for example, that fire at the Burrow, that never happened.
Yeah, that was
Correct.
Dumb. That is not canon.
Yeah. Yeah. Vinny, what is your favorite monologue in the books? This isn't really a monologue. It's just a quick... I like in Sorcerer's Stone when Harry goes off his first, like, angry tangent when he's talking to Ron and Hermione, and he's like, we're going to the trapdoor tonight. I'm never going to the dark side. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
and he gets, like, all fired up. I like that a lot.
They have cookies.
That's true. They do have cookies.
Yeah.
My favorite monologue is whenever Harry and Voldemort are circling each other in the Great Hall, and Harry tells him everything.
Yeah. I love when he calls him Tom.
Yeah, and then he like tells him about how he's now given the love protection to everybody.
Right,
and then it's over.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
It's been so long. I bet that'll be my favorite.
It's so good.
I don't remember the last three books.
He's but you don't get it, do you, Tom? And Voldemort's like, you dare? And Harry's like, yeah, I dare.
Tom.
So good.
It's so good. He's so good. I love it. I gotta listen to 7 again, I think. It's just so darn good.
Next question.
Mike says we have to answer for each other for this one. How long would your monologue be?
Wait, I didn't say my monologue, and neither did Sarah.
I don't really have one, but I'll agree with that.
I thought you agreed with Mike.
No, I love that, but I also like the Sorting Hat song in 5 when she gives the warning.
Ooh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Or he, the hat.
It.
The hat.
Yeah, I don't know if that has a gender.
I don't know why I said he.
You actually said she.
I don't know why I said she.
I mean, I like it, girl power.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan calls everything she and girl.
Who's girl that?
From
Queer Eye.
Yes, yeah, Queen.
I love him. Oh, you know what? I haven't seen that.
It's so good. It's like feel good. Like, it lifts you up. You're going to cry, but it lifts you up. Yeah. Literally just watched an episode where this guy adopted a dog and cried pretty hard. No, it was so cute.
It's like a good cry. It's a good cry.
It's the best kind of cry.
It's the best kind of cry.
It was so good.
Yeah. I love that show so much.
Before we answer how long everyone's would be, who would have the longest monologue out of the four of us?
One of you two.
Megan.
I would say Megan.
Probably Meg. She likes her soapboxes.
I like to talk.
You like to talk too, though.
Hers would be longer. Tiffany's would be... So let's rank. It'd be Megan, me, Tiffany, then Katie.
Sure. And it depends on how much time I have to prepare. Because if I have time to like pre-prepare, I can write a long thing. But if you just have me like on the cusp, nope.
Katie would just say bye. You think I would be longer? Vinny thinks I would be longer than Megan.
I think that we would probably be close.
Yeah, but you'd be longer.
Okay.
Vinny says, can Voldy wear sunglasses with no nose?
No.
No.
Just like sun he shades. Can't put lipstick on either with no lips.
He throws the shade. He don't wear it.
It is a figure of speech.
You almost have no lips.
I've got enough to put lipstick on.
I mean, he can talk. He probably could put lipstick on if he wanted
to. It's a figure of speech. He has lips.
He doesn't, Tiffany.
Thin.
No, he has no... It says lipless. It doesn't say little lips. It says lipless.
I hate you.
He works for the Little Lips team. It makes me think of Little Leagues.
Yeah, he can't whistle for sure.
Some people with big lips can't whistle.
Maybe
he
whistles with his teeth. Bev asked, have you ever realized you were working for the wrong cause or on the wrong side of something? Were you able to Regulus Black that junk?
I've been in support of people who I thought were doing the right thing and realized that they were doing the wrong thing, and now I'm not on board anymore. Does that count?
Yeah, like my views on things have changed. Like since like grade school, high school, like as I've grown up and become more educated with the world.
Yeah.
Like talking about lipless things.
But like, you know, you learn and you evolve and you grow.
That's what Carly just said. Being well informed can make you grow and become a better person.
Yes. And all people, like it doesn't matter. Jokingly, when we were talking about before how like a woman can change their mind, it's her prerogative. Anybody can change their mind, it's their prerogative.
Only just, I can change my mind.
I do. I will never grow out of my views on polydactyl cats. Yeah.
Oh, I can't.
Or lipless Voldemort.
Lipless Lord. All right, we have one more sort of lightning.
I want to discuss this, Vinny, I almost want it to be a Felix Files.
Yeah, Vinny, we hear you, believe me.
What did he say?
We're going to save it.
We're saving it.
The Potter biblical
I'm saving
comparison.
It right
it's
now.
It's going to be a Felix Files.
Yeah, it is.
So
100%.
So we actually have, before we get to the fan story,
yes,
a special request.
Yes, we do.
Emailed in. I'm handing it over to good old Meg.
Turn your ears up and listen.
So we would like to give an extremely special shout out to our listener, Sophie, from Arlington, Virginia. She's a Griffin Claw. And also shout out to her boyfriend, Artie, who is a Hufferin. So the couple is all four houses. How cool is that?
I like it.
She's 17. And she was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma last March. And her mom actually wrote to us and said some really kind things, and we really appreciated it. She said that we have been a bright spot while Sophie goes through chemo and radiation. So we want to give the biggest thank you to Sophie for letting us be a light in her darkness. We've always said this. It's crazy to us that just four friends getting together to talk Potter can spark happiness in other people. Every time we get a story about these, it touches us. About like something like this, it touches us. And it really means a lot to us that anybody would reach out and just say thank you. So from the bottom of our hearts, we wish you health, happiness, light, and strength. You've got this.
Yes. Sophie, you are strong.
Yes.
You can do this. And is... Artie, you're amazing.
Yes.
And your mom.
You're all amazing.
For and thank
you.
This.
Yeah, thank you. That's like, seriously, like Maya said, it truly touches us. And the fact that anybody wants to say thank you, like, we almost want to say, like, no, thank you for you. What? Like, we just, like, we're just talking, you know? But yeah. Truthfully, we know that, like, people have said we've changed their lives, but, like, all our Swishers have changed our lives as well.
Yes.
We so it's a two way street.
Time. Yeah.
Thank you. We wish you nothing but absolute magic and awesomeness. And you're great.
I agree.
Fan story?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you guys got double Swisher stories today.
Yes.
So it's pretty awesome.
Check this out. Phonetically spelled.
I know. I love when people do this for me. So let's see if I can do it. This is from Aubrey Spivey. Yes. It's yes. Like just how it's spelled. Although I probably would have said it weird. Okay. I'm Aubrey Spivey, a proud Slytherin, or based Woo! On the more fine grade categorization, a Slyther Claw. My wand That's is English.
A popular combo.
Slyther Claw?
Yeah.
My wand is English oak with unicorn heart string, 10 3/4 in length with supple flexibility. My Patronus is a Thestral. That's really cool.
That's cool.
That is awesome.
What? That's like bananas rare.
Yeah,
that's really so cool.
Bananas aren't rare, so I don't know why you're saying
the
like that.
The Thestral bananas are.
The what?
Thestral bananas.
Thestral. It's Thestral. I'm very tired.
My Ilvermorny house is the Horned Serpent. Even though I'm part of the generation that grew up with Harry, I initially had a hard time getting through the first book. I was a relatively advanced reader and thought I was too advanced for them. My older sister, who was 3 years older than me, started reading them and fell in love. I followed suit as I did everything she did. Now I'm 29 and in graduate school. I find that rereading the books and watching the movies helps me get through my week. The books and movies have served to help me in moving past significant traumas and in being a source of joy and good memories. 5 years ago now, I was the first responder to my grandmother's heart attack. I felt extreme survivor's guilt and was not really able to process the emotions of filling that role and then planning her funeral. For a long time afterwards, I struggled, and whenever I was feeling like I couldn't face another person, I would curl up in a fuzzy blanket with a cup of tea and watch the movies. It felt like safety and home. I was able to forget what was going on and become immersed in J.K. Rowling's world. Even now that I am doing well and have worked on addressing my traumas, I still go to Harry Potter when I'm feeling good or bad. It is always there for me. It has helped me form special bonds with family, friends, family, and myself. My sister, a Hufflepuff, and I have shared many happy memories talking about it, reading it together, seeing the movies, and being active members of the fandom. Last year for Christmas, I gave her a trunk with all of her first year essentials.
Oh my gosh.
So complete cute. With snow owl stuffed animal. I think it's true what they say about Hufflepuffs and Slytherins making such good friends. High five.
Honestly, though.
Truthfully. I'm happy to have found you all. I love having another reason to reread the books and watch the movies. I look forward to your updates every week and on your YouTube channel. Don't let the muggles get you down. That's awesome. Once again, like, Potter is just like, what do you need Potter for? It's got you. You know what I mean? Like, it's home no matter what.
I've been listening to the audiobooks to help me lately. I've been having kind of a rough time the past couple of weeks. Hopefully by the time this comes out, it'll be a little bit different. But start of the school year is really kicking my behind and some other things. So I've been listening. And honestly, like, Potter helps.
It does.
It really does. So thank you so much for your story, Aubrey.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
So much. Also, I want to give somebody a trunk with all their first year essentials.
Yeah,
oh my that's God. Adorable. I should totally do that for Rose.
Yeah,
yes.
You need to.
Yes. Watch her not like Harry Potter when she grows up.
She will love a Harry Potter.
How can you not?
She will love a Harry Potter.
Yeah.
She already has her little Harry. You guys, do you remember the Voldemort that I got in Diagon Alley? Well, technically Nocturne Alley.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember
for the
that.
19 years later party. So she saw it on my shelf and she was like, that? So I gave it to her. I was like, this is Voldemort. And she's kissing him. And rubbing his head. And she held him and she was like this. And she's patting his back. And I was like, oh, honey. You know what he would say to you? He would say, no, thank you.
Okay. Can he kiss back with no lips?
No. Poor Bellatrix.
Can't get I don't any, think she was complaining.
Can't get any kisses from Voldy.
Voldy smooches. They don't exist.
Go.
All right. Follow us on Facebook at Swish and Flick Podcast, on Twitter and Instagram at Swish Flick Cast, on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast, and on Patreon, where you can get access to our Discord chat, our Felix Files episodes. You can be on a Felix Files episode. You can hang out with us in our Google Hangouts, actually Zoom Hangouts. What?
Box.
And
you were not doing a box. You did I saw a heart. Circle.
I don't know what she was doing.
That's not a box.
And if you join a Phoenix, if you join Phoenix Plus, you will be eligible to get the Phoenix Plus box as long as you sign up by November 1st.
Yeah.
You also you still have hold on. You also still have to be a patron by the time we send them out.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like a Phoenix Plus patron.
Yeah.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah. Support.
Please.
And if you saw on the internet highway that it said September 1st, that's because that was me and I had the date wrong.
But I edited it. It's November. Okay. So now it says November 1st.
I just want to reiterate, though, we wouldn't be able to do 90% of the cool things that we do without Patreon. So,
nope.
Like, thank you to everyone that does is a patron and that helps support us, because that helps us be able to meet more of you and do more fun things and travel to see you guys. So we truly, truly appreciate it.
Yeah. You guys, keep it going.
And so I don't know if you guys ever look at our goals on Patreon, but our next goal to hit is to try to be able to go to the studio tour in London together as a group so that we can see it, talk about it, give you guys more content about it, vlog it. I mean, we would love to be able to do that for you, but we can't do it until we hit that goal.
And this is truly, truly groundbreaking. We would podcast about it.
We would podcast about
it. I thought you were going to say something like super serious, and I was like,
and we would
like
also,
listening bated breath.
We would also really, really love to be able to do a couple meetups over in the UK as well.
Yeah.
All four of us.
Yeah.
More
than one location in the UK.
Yeah. So we would really, really like that to happen. And we know that we've got a while to go until we're there, but it's
in the works.
It's a goal that we would like to do. So
it's in the works if we can do it. We already have some ideas, so we just need the
bet. And you know, realistically, if in a couple of years we do a Swisher Con,
yeah,
that's also something that
would be
Patreon would be
funded.
Very helpful in having funds for.
Yes,
if people would be interested in
basically,
that.
Basically, we Swish just Con. Want you guys to know that we really take this money and put it back into the pod, and we want to bring more content to you. So,
yep,
and we really appreciate all the support that we get.
Yeah, we can't thank you enough.
Yes. All right. Plug other stuff. Tiff? Do you have anything?
Did we do social media?
Yeah, I did it.
Oh, I thought you were just talking about Patreon.
Nope. I did all of it already.
Oh. Were you here for this?
No.
Welcome to the podcast, Tiffany.
Hi. It's been great.
Ooh,
no.
Tiffany.
I am Tiffany. No, I'm just, what am I doing? I'm teaching. I'm podcasting. I'm wifing and momming and dog momming. What have I been doing? We've got a lot of weddings coming up this month. I don't know when this is released.
Your nephew is a year old by the time this comes out.
Mr. Gwent. Going to do some fun pumpkin patch things with Miss Rose, and hopefully she'll be a little more attentive this year. I believe she fell asleep a few times last year. So.
Well, she was extra little.
She was itty bitty. Oh, and I love her, and she's awesome, and she can count to three.
It's big time.
She's
so cute. We're trying to get her to count to five.
Yeah.
Is that it?
I do not like letter Kenny, Maya, Mia, whatever, how we're saying that. I love Discord.
All right, so I wanted to give a huge thank you to a listener. Her name is Nancy Mack, and she sent us this awesome package and letter.
Who's that? It's Nancy Mac.
Oh,
she's
my
basically the best.
She's basically So she sent
I
us...
I did look. I was like, I don't know who is that.
So she did send us her Potter story, which I'm going to save for another day. But I just wanted to plug her little shop because she sent us these little reusable cotton rounds and face cloths. And she like made the she bought the fabric specifically for us. These aren't on her Etsy shop and they're custom made for us. And just really sweet.
We're so excited.
I can't wait to use it.
I know.
But she says that she listens to our podcast while she sews for her Etsy shop.
Oh, that's awesome.
Actually, now that I'm looking at this, she didn't tell me what her Etsy shop is called. It's a small batch manufacturing business based in Toronto, Canada, focused on children's wear fashion design. Etsy shop focusing on zero waste products.
That's awesome.
Tell us your shop.
You have to tell us your shop because I will plug it because they're super good quality.
They're so cool.
So she sent us little like makeup cotton rounds that are reusable and face cloths with a little Harry Potter pattern that is super cute.
So cute.
But if you email us your shop name, I will tell everybody about it because they are super soft and super cute and nicely made.
Mm-hmm. And the world needs to know.
Would you say they are... quality.
They're quality.
Yeah.
Come
here, pooch.
So thank you to Nancy. And then also you can follow me and Katie on Instagram and Twitter at the Petrus Family and on YouTube.
Oh. I'm on Twitter at tiffswish_flick.
Follow me.
Is it me now?
Yep.
I've got nothing going on. Still in school. I've been the maid of honor for the last time. This is my 7th wedding that I have been in, and I hope...
What a good number to end on.
It's so many, so many, so many.
Weddings are a lot.
They out are. Out of the 7, 4 of them I've been maid of honor. Out of the 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 possibly, I've helped plan bachelorette things. I'm really over it.
I'm sorry.
I love my friends.
You have so many friends.
I know. I'm also just really tired and I don't feel good right now. But yeah, so I'm kind of glad that it's over. This wasn't that painful, though, this last wedding. Some of them were more painful than others.
Yeah,
as bridesmaids would know.
Was mine painful?
No. I will say this is the only dress that I would actually wear again.
Shut your mouth.
I'm not lying.
I'm just saying I let you and Chrissy pick them out.
So. That's a lie.
I gave you options. You got to pick from them.
I didn't give anybody any kind of options.
I mean, they're all fine. I'm kind of glad that this phase of my life is over. If my sister ever gets married, I'm sure I'll be her maid of honor. And if I ever get married, then I'll be my own bride. So, you know, that'll be the end.
You be your own bride, girl.
I honestly think the next wedding I'll be in is mine. It's terribly single, so it won't be happening for a while, but which is fine. I need a wedding break. I need to just attend as a guest from now on. I can't make any more friends. but that's it. And I had 1 month off of travel. Such a first world problem.
Yeah. So oh my God, it's been good.
Hopefully, enjoying fall weather and just...
drinking pumpkin stuff and lighting pumpkin candles and frolicking through the leaves.
Oh my gosh! Hold on. Do you actually frolic through the leaves?
Yes, I do. Yeah,
frolic. Mm-hmm. Let me give one last shout out to our newest Swisher as of right this second, Carly's dad. Tom Johnson, you're the real MVP. Welcome.
That's a good name.
Tom Johnson.
And coming out of left field, we've got Tom Johnson as a new Swisher.
Tom Johnson. What's up? For Voldemort Valor. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Bye.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
That's a horse of whatever color.
Amazing! Just my voice!
A Are we recording?
Yes.
Yes!
Don't scare the Hufflepuff.
I had a great straight face. You have to admit it. Because for a second you're like, oh, she's just kidding. And then you're like, oh, wait, no, she's not.
I have a gay face.
I got you, this is your gay apartment.
Who's Emily Prince?
Nobody.
She's some lady.
You are a loser, Voldemort. God.
I'm sorry, my head is just stuck on the fact that he doesn't have lips.
Here, don't you lips.
You know my goal.
Yeah, you can
to
still,
death.
You can still say Megan and Petra.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.